stand in the presence of Jesus, and I'll see the Lord face to face. With my very eyes, I'll witness His glory when I finally finish my race. But the burdens of life sometimes get so heavy that I need to touch Him somehow. But I don't have to wait until I get to heaven. By faith I can touch Him now. I can reach out and touch the hem of His garment. I know He will make me whole, for He's passing by this very moment. Can you feel the virtue that flows? Presence of angels and millions of saints round the throne. I'll worship the Lord and sing hallelujah without all the trouble I've known. And I'll see those hands that lifted my burdens, and I'll see those scars on His brow. But I don't have to wait until
I get to heaven. By grace, I can touch Him now. My friend, what a joy. What a joy. We are going to have a breathtaking broadcast. I don't want you to miss a thing. Let me get a little more sound up here for me. I want you to hear me loud and clear. Now, listen to me. Very important. You got to hear it. You got to hear it. The worldwide trumpet is about to sound. And when that worldwide trumpet sounds, I want you to know this earth will never be the same again. This world will never be the same again. If you're not ready, I beg of you today, get ready today. Before this broadcast is over, I want somebody saved. I want more than one somebody saved. I want you to get your heart right with God. I want you to get your life right with God. That worldwide trumpet. That worldwide trumpet is going to sound. It's going to sound so loud it wakes up the dead. I don't believe anybody with hearing on the face of this earth will not hear that trumpet. I believe the beer bottles, the beer glasses on a whiskey bar in some bar room will shatter under the incredible tone and power of that sound. This world will never be the same when that trumpet sounds. Now listen to me. Listen to me. The majority of today's church will be devastated when they realize they've been lied to, they've been preached a soft gospel, they've been preached lying theologies, they've been told things that have no relevance with truth. It's going to be a sad picture. Now, I'm not the only one saying that. I'm hearing people who are really, you would say a little bit liberal. But they believe that the majority of the church is unprepared for the coming of the Lord. I just believe it's probably a greater majority not ready than maybe they do. I'm not kidding you. It's not going to be funny. It really isn't. Now, I want to take you to the book of Revelation chapter 3 and read to you first off a picture of the letter of Jesus Christ written to the church of this period, of this generation. The Laodicean church. I don't think anybody that believes the book of Revelation, Tim LaHaye, all of that crowd, I don't believe a one of them that believes the book of Revelation that does not believe the Laodicean church is today's church. Today's church. We are living in the Laodicean church period, the Laodicean church age. And what did Jesus say to that church? If you are part of a Laodicean church, what did Jesus say to your church? If you are yourself a member of the Laodicean characteristics, what did Jesus say to you. Listen, and unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, these things saith the Amen. The Amen, that means finality, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works. I know thy works, and thou art neither cold nor hot. Lukewarm. Thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot, because thou sayest, I'm rich. Wait a minute. Missed the verse 6. So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, there's no way to make anything out of that, but lukewarm people will be spewed into the tribulation. They will not go in the rapture. Now, I hope you will help me make this text a center of our discussion today. You disagree with it? I mean, please do that if you feel it. I would like to hear you disagree and try to help you understand it. I promise I'll be a friend. I will not be unkind to nobody. I'm here to help. I'm here to declare truth. I'm here to help people get ready for that glorious coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. So he said, because thou art lukewarm. Now, how do you know you look warm? How many of you out there would say, I'm not as on fire as I used to be? Raise your hand. I'm not as on fire as I used to be. I'm not walking in that kind of relationship I used to walk in. How many would raise your hand? How many would raise your hand? How many used to be so full of the Holy Ghost when you was in church, you couldn't keep your seat, you were shouting, you were praising God, but you don't do it no more? Raise your hand if you're one of those. How many used to have the gift of tongues, or the gift of interpretation, or the gift of healing, or the working of miracles? How many of you used to have this wonderful work of the Holy Ghost in your life? Raise your hand if you have it no more. How about how many of you used to be a soul winner? You used to go out on the streets. Anywhere you went, you were trying to get somebody to come to Christ. You were burdened for the unsaved. You'd get on your knees at home in the prayer closet, and you'd weep and sob for lost family members, lost neighbors, lost friends, lost loved ones. You carried a burden for the lost. How many remember when you used to be that way, but you're not that way anymore? Now, what's wrong? You look warm. You're neither cold nor hot. And you're going to miss the rapture, and he's going to spew you out of his mouth, and then you are going to have to get right with God in that tribulation period. You're going to have to wash your garments in the blood of the Lamb and be part of those tribulation saints that are brought up to him in the middle of the tribulation, and you will be hated by this world. The devil will make mincemeat out of you. You will be destroyed in ways that you cannot imagine. What those people are doing in ISIS and the radical Muslims, those jihadists, they are soft compared to what that Antichrist and that devil's going to be after that rapture of the church. Because he's going to be one mad creature. That devil is going to be so angry. He's going to get cast out of heaven, you see, out of the midair, down to the earth. And he's going to be restricted to the earth for 7 years. And he's going to be so angry, the Bible says that. He comes with great wrath, knowing he hath but a short season. Are you getting the message? Are you getting the message? So then, because thou art lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased with goods, and I have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. Now that's Revelation chapter 3. The Lord Jesus himself, the blessed Son of God, the Lord of the church. Now, that's not some preacher. That's not Joe Chambers. That's not Billy Graham. That's not anybody you would ever have known or known of. That was Jesus talking. Jesus talking, because you are lukewarm and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Now, that is scary. That is scary. But I have no right but to tell you. I have no right but to tell you. I'm responsible to tell you. So I cry out to you today. We're doing a program. Listen to this. On the world, we'll hear the great trumpet blast. And then we talk about the church and why the church is going to be left. Why the church as a whole is going to be left. Now, like I said, everybody that I hear will say, well, 90% of the church has never been born again. or 90% of the church has left off that godly living that they used to live. I was at First Baptist Church Thursday right here uptown Charlotte. And I heard a great speaker from Washington, D.C., who is doing their best to get the churches awakened for the election next year. And he said to you, he said to them, he said, our churches are worldly. Our churches are so worldly. We've got to get back to holiness. He said the word holiness in the First Baptist Church. Woo! You can't even say that in some Pentecostal churches today. Now listen to me. I am burdened for this whole situation. I'm burdened for you. I'm going to say a lot about the church and what we've got to do to get ready for this next year's election. If Jesus tarries, if he comes, you can have it. They can have it. I'm going to be gone. Praise God. I'm going to be gone. I want you to be gone. Now, we got a lot to talk about. The 10 characteristics of a Laodicean church. The 10 characteristics of a Laodicean church. Now, what I'm going to do is something different. I'm going to give you the true characteristics of a true church in any period, Laodicean period, all the way back to the Ephesus period. The characteristics of a true church. Number one, they are a strong masculine church with strong masculine authority. Number two, they are a cross-preaching church, cross-centered preaching church. The cross of Christ is the center of a Bible-believing church, the very central. Constant declaration of Jesus Christ and all that he is. Did you know that he said seven times in the book of St. John, I am, I am. Do you know the seven I ams that Jesus said in the book of John? I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. I am the door. I am the good shepherd. I am the resurrection and the life. I am the way and the truth. I am the vine. Seven times. That's the fullness. That's what we must preach, and we must preach it with all of our heart. And then there are others, complete dependency on the power of the Holy Ghost. A church that is not completely dependent on the power of the Holy Ghost is a helpless church. And nothing good, nobody's going to get saved. The Holy Spirit has to convict. Strong prayer life. That at the Baptist church Thursday, they told of churches. One minister from Texas told of his church having all-night prayer meetings. All-night prayer meetings to shake their community, to stir their church. Oh, that's what's needed. All-night prayer meetings. How many of you would join me in Charlotte for an all-night prayer meeting for this city? I'm telling you, this city is desperate. While the conservatives took the nation last Tuesday, Charlotte lost its very heart. Charlotte lost its very heart. What in the world is wrong with us? I don't know the answer. Expectancy of the supernatural. That's a Bible-believing church. That's a New Testament church. They expect the supernatural. They expect people to get healed. They expect devils to be cast out. They expect it. They believe it. Bible-saturated music. Bible-saturated music. Praise and worship that raises the roof. Oh, I love that sound of high worship. When the people of God worship him with the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And then living in expectancy of the return of Jesus Christ to rapture his church. 10 characteristics of a Bible-believing New Testament church, Book of Acts church. And if your church is not like that, then you need to do something about it. Get on fire. Start an all-night prayer meeting. Get a hold of the preacher and get him right with God in a divine way. Or if you can't do it, try your best. And if you can't get nothing done, get out. But don't sit in a Laodicean church and miss the rapture. You will be part of what happens. I'm telling you, we can't be partakers. The Bible said if we bid Godspeed to those of the evil world, we are partakers of their evil deeds. If we bid them Godspeed, we are partakers of their evil deeds. Oh, church world, listen to Brother Chambers. I care about you. I care about you. I care about you. Now, there's so much to talk about today, and I'm ready. I want you to call us 1-800-273-8255. 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. Local number 704-391-0588. 704-391-0588. And you know, I can now put them up in front of me. That I know some of you may like that when I put this up in front of you, or me, I'm sorry, so you can't see me as well. But there's numbers and there's the email, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, you can call us 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. Email me, jrc@paulcreek.org, okay? Email me at paulcreek.org. Hey, you're my friends, and I love you. I want to hear from you. I want us to get ready for that rapture together. I want us to get ready for that rapture together. And I want us to get our churches ready. There's a new program now called the Culture Impact Team. And they're trying. We're trying to get every church to have a team. I've got the person I'm going to appoint tomorrow to be over our cultural impact team. And we're going to do our best to wake our church up to the necessity of returning some moral values to this nation. We are in trouble, folks. We're in bad trouble. We're in terrible trouble. I wish you could have seen the things I saw this past Thursday. I'm going to get them and show them to you on this program. See, we can show you now things like this, and we're going to show them. They have it on a video, and I'm sure they'll let me show it. I'm going to get, of course, the gentleman who was such a great speaker at the First Baptist last Thursday. Wow! I said to him when he sat down, "You're Pentecostal." He said, "I'm a Babdecostal." I'm here to tell you, he was dynamite. He said things that I say. And I love it when I hear somebody else saying what I say. Because, you know, when you feel like you're the only one saying it, sometimes you get very concerned. You really do. You get all torn up about it. I want you to get involved with me. I want us to shake the city. I want us to shake America. I do. Now, there's a program called Acts 20. 28. Now, I think it's amazing that today I was already geared to talk about the book of Acts model for the church. The book of Acts model for the church. And here they are with a program called Acts 20:28. That's why every church in America can send their complete list of all their members, their mailing list, send their whole mailing list, and they will give them a report of if that person's registered to vote. Did they vote in the recent primary? Did they vote in the last presidential election? And so the pastors will know only 22% of my people voted in the presidential election in 1912. And I'm going to change that. I'm sorry, 2012. And I'm going to change that in 2016. And that, if a preacher wouldn't get angry over that, then he ain't worth his salt. I'm telling you, if your people aren't even voting. Well, you can find that out. And so pastors, our leading members, deacons, elders in churches, you can get this information. I will see that you get it if you call us and ask for it. Okay? I will see that it's sent to you. All you got to do is call, give our ladies right here today your name and address, and that you want the material for an impact team in your church. You want to help stop the way this nation is going. You want to take a stand. Now, you listen to me. The problem in America is not the White House. The problem in America is God's house. The problem in America is not the White House. The problem in America is our house, God's house, the church house, God's house. That's where the problem is. Most people are so Laodicean in their lifestyle. Laodicean, they aren't ready for the rapture. And so because they aren't ready for nothing else. If you're not ready for the rapture, you're not ready to serve Christ and be a soul winner. If you're not ready for the rapture, you're not ready to be on fire when Sunday morning comes. And your pastor's looking for people who will worship or testify or sing a special or sing in the choir or play the instruments or be the usher at the door. Oh, I'm telling you. The church has never been in greater need, never in greater need. I get frustrated when I hear people who have such a high standard of what godly living is, and you can't even get them in church. You can't even get them in church. No, they don't have a high standard. They just have one for other people. They want to be judge of other people, but they don't even know how to judge themselves. Well, those things get to me, and I have to be very careful and keep myself cool. I really do. I have to be very careful and keep myself cool because I'm telling you this is a dark day. Now, I need you. I want to hear your phone calls, 1-800-338-7884. I will give you I will give you this booklet today that I have in front of me on the world will hear the great trumpet blast, and it will give you the 10 characteristics of a church that's ready to hear that trumpet blast. The 10 characteristics of a church that's ready to hear that trumpet blast. And Christians, of course, that are here, ready to hear that great trumpet blast. Our phones rang off last week, and I want them to ring off this week, so grab your phone. Don't sit around. Don't wait. Don't wait. Grab your phone and call 1-800-338-7884. The Lord is coming any moment. How many of you believe that? How many of you believe that Jesus is coming any minute? How many of you really believe he could come imminently today? That he could come before this broadcast is over. Let me have a couple calls of people that really believe that coming of the Lord is imminent. When you say the coming of the Lord is imminent, you believe nothing has to happen. Nothing has to take place. Nothing has to occur. Not a thing for the trumpet to sound and Jesus to split the sky and come to get his saints. Jesus to split the sky and come to get his saints. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588, 704-391-0588. Do you know, I literally make people angry when I tell them that lukewarm people are not going in the rapture. I make them angry at me. I've tried it many times, and it never fails. It makes them angry. I mean, people who don't even go to church, people that have no witness of Christ in their heart and life, they are so spiritually dead. Just have nothing of spiritual anointing or spiritual strength about their life. You know a tree by the fruit it bears. And you tell people that, and they get angry. Now, why? Because they're not ready, but they don't want you to tell them they're not ready. Now, if you're angry, grab your phone and call me real quick. I want everybody that's angry with what you heard me say to call me today and let's talk about it. Call me and tell me why you are angry at what I'm saying. I'm watching the phone lines. You call me. I will talk with you. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. The email is jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I want to hear from you. I want you, if you're angry with me, I want you to say it. I really do. I'm not so thin-skinned that I cannot take some criticism, that I cannot take people disagreeing with me. I'm ready for that if that's what I need. I really am. I want to hear from you. Now, grab your phones. I'm waiting on you. Quickly, 1-800-338-7884. We'll send you this material. We love that. Phones are ringing, by the way, but I want you to call. Maybe nobody's angry. Maybe you're getting the message. Maybe you're waking up. Maybe you realize that lukewarm people aren't going in that rapture. How about the 10 virgins? 5 of them were wise and 5 of them were foolish. All 10 were virgins. All 10 was virgins. The 5 foolish virgins had oil because their lamps had gone out. Do you get that message? Their lamps had gone out. They had oil. They had been ready. They had been on fire. They had been full of enthusiasm for Christ, but it all had drained out. They'd got all caught up in the world. They'd got busy making a living, making more money, working 2 jobs, buying a new house, needing a new car, wanting all the money you need for lots of vacations, and they lost their fire. They lost their joy. They lost the moving of the Holy Spirit in their life. I've got to stir you. If you are anywhere less than what you used to be, if you are not a more devoted Christian now than you were 2 years ago, then that's a good sign you are lukewarm. I mean, a Christian never quits growing. Jesus said, walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse you from all sins. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. The light of the Bible. The light of truth. The light of great doctrinal ideas in the Scripture. The Bible is so full of wonderful things. The Bible is so full of great light and great beauty and great things that you can enjoy. The Bible is such a blessed life. I'd rather live in it. Do you know I've been a Christian 63 years and 7 months, 8 months probably right about now. 7 years, either 63 years and 7 months or 8 months. And I'm here. When I was saved, I couldn't even read. I had to learn to read with the King James Bible. I learned to read with the King James Bible. the next time somebody tells you that you got to have a college degree to read the King James Bible, you tell them you know a preacher that learned to read with the King James Bible. How could it be like they say it is? Well, if you get born again, you won't have any trouble understanding the Bible. You really get born again. Now, I'm waiting for calls. I saw calls coming in for material. I want to hear from you right now. 704-391-0588. 1-800-338-7884. I tell you what, I got to go to the website and see the messages there. I really love you. I love to talk with you and deal with you and listen to you. Overcomers. All right. Here's a good question. See who is from here. That doesn't really matter. Yeah, I can tell. I was watching a program last week that had a panel of ministers who answered questions by email or calls. The question was, what is an overcomer? One of the ministers answered by saying, anyone who is saved is an overcomer. He said, you cannot be 50% saved. You're either justified or not. He said, everyone is the same. Everyone is the same as a Christian. How would you answer that question? All right. What does it mean to be an overcomer? Well, every Christian is not an overcomer. If that was true, then nobody would ever backslide. Nobody would ever lose out. My Bible says, walk in the light as he is in the light, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth you from all sin. Why would he tell you to walk in the light if there's no such thing as walking in the light? And the Bible talks about, go to Hebrews 6. Let me read you something that will answer that question. And I love to answer with the Bible instead of just what I think. Hebrews 6, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith toward God. Now, that's Hebrews 1 and 6. I'm sorry, 6 and 1. Leaving the principles of the doctrines of Christ, let us go on unto perfection. Go on unto perfection. And then go to Hebrews and these letters. Let me read to you Hebrews 3 and 10. Listen to this. Revelation 3 and 10 says, because thou hast kept the word of my patience, I will keep thee from the hour of tribulation, of temptation that cometh upon the earth. Everybody has to be an overcomer. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. There are multiple scriptures telling us that we must be overcomers, that we must overcome sin, we must overcome our own flesh, we must overcome the devil. That's the three forces of overcoming that you've got to be a part of. You've got to watch this flesh. Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. That's in 1 Corinthians 7 and 27. 1 Corinthians 7 and 27. I keep under my body. Apostle Paul. And then, there are so many scriptures. I mean, that is one good question. That is one good question. Let me take you, get this. I put all kinds of little clips in my Bible to hold things in place because I live in this Bible, friend. Paul said, and this is in Philippians chapter 3. Philippians chapter 3. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things for loss, but be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might obtain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I've already obtained. I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Do you get the message? Apostle Paul, what a subject to answer that question with. Apostle Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling. Oh, everybody must become an overcomer. And many people have been saved, but failed to become overcomers, and they became lukewarm. I mean, the scripture on lukewarm. What's happened to a lukewarm Christian? They have quit being an overcomer. Just that simple. Oh, that was a terrible answer that man gave. That was a terrible answer. I agree, you can't be 50% saved, but you can be in the process of backsliding. And I know many who walked away from that wonderful grace of God. The book of Hebrews, I just read it last night, where he says if we sin willingly after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there is no more sacrifice for our sins. So people can sin willingly after they've been delivered. Now call quickly. You've got a lot to talk about now, so give me a call. I would love to hear you, and you on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, sir, Brother James.
Hey, my friend.
Yes, sir. I called in last week. This is Brother Luke down East Texas way. And I am asked you about for some clarification on about the your view of the rapture and the partial rapture.
Yes.
And get you to clarify that. I really appreciate that. And there was a question I meant to ask you, and I forgot.
Okay, we'll get it today.
Yes, sir. Like I said last week, I believe what you do on the rapture. The lukewarm Christians are not going. And, I mean, I've been studying on this for probably about 4 or 5 years. I've really been studying this.
How can you not believe the Bible? Why does Christians not just believe the Bible?
Right.
I mean, the Bible is the final word of everything. Brother James, don't pay no attention to what I say if it's not from the Bible.
Right. My question is, because this is one that whenever I try and teach this, or whenever I talk to this, or discuss with my pastor, one of the questions he asked me is, what about people that have died, and yet they wouldn't be part of the bride? They would not have, you know, been part of the bride, but they were saved, and they died. At the point of the rapture, what happens with them? Are they resurrected, and do they go in the rapture? Or what? Since they're not part of the bride.
You know, those are questions that nobody can answer. What will happen to all of the dead? There will be a multitude of them that are ready to be part of the bride, and they will definitely be resurrected. I think there is a very complete, I mean absolute proof that there are many people who are living clean enough to be part of the rapture, but they're not going to be part of the bride because they didn't earn that privilege. Go to the book of 1 Corinthians 3, and it says here are people who are not ready. They've not kept the faith so as to get a full reward, but they save so as by fire. Now, at what time do they get resurrected? I'll leave that to God. I'm not going to tell you because I don't know. I just know everybody's going to eventually, the saved is going to eventually be resurrected. Even those who are lukewarm and either hot or cold, they can repent after the rapture's over and become part of, you know, of going up later. It's all a great mystery, some of it. We just know what the book of Revelation say, and we just go by the book. And those questions like that is a good question, but I don't know the answer. And the Bible don't give an answer.
Right.
We know they will be resurrected if they were saved. If their name is in the book of life, they're going to be eternally saved. Anybody whose name is in the book of life will be eternally saved. But you do know the possibility of your name being taken out of the book of life is absolutely. Let me read. If any man shall take away from the words of the book of the prophecies, of this prophecy, that's the whole Bible, God shall take away his part out of the book of life. Did you hear that?
Right.
That's in Revelation chapter 22, verse 19.
Yes, sir.
God shall take away his part out of the book of life.
Right.
I mean, if people don't get shook up about these kind of things and quit taking this cheap gospel, it don't matter how you live. If you ever claim the name of Jesus and you believe he was the Savior, you're saved regardless of how you live. That's a lot of garbage.
Right. I agree 100%.
Thank you, sir.
Quick question?
Yes.
I was raised in a Assembly of God church, which is a denomination anyway. It's not a big deal. But now, I wasn't raised Wesleyan or in the sense of second definite work of grace.
Okay.
I've come to believe that through the Bible and through study. The question I'm getting at is, I've seen on your website you also, you know, you were from Church of God, so that's that background. Would second definite work holiness have anything to do with the preparation for the rapture? I know men like...
Absolutely. Absolutely. You see, when you get saved, he forgives you of all of your sins.
Right.
I mean, every sin you've ever committed is forgiven the moment you get saved. But you do have a nature. called the Adamic nature. That Adamic nature needs to be rendered a marvelous defeat by the sanctifying blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I pray that you might be sanctified. He said, I sanctify myself so that you might be sanctified. You got wonderful scriptures about sanctification. When I got saved, my sins was forgiven. When I got sanctified, the power of sin was broken.
Right.
The power of sin was broken so that I've been able to live a victorious life now for 63 years and 8 months. And I'm just as normal and natural as anybody out there listening to me. The book of James says that Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are. We all subject to those passions. But when you get sanctified, when the blood of Jesus is allowed to cleanse and break those passions, then you are victorious to live above them. And that's why Paul said, I keep under my body and bring it into subjection. Sanctification is both a wonderful experience, but it has a continuous, a growing experience all of your life. There's three orders of God's great grace: justification, sanctification, and glorification. When you're justified, your sins are forgiven. When you're sanctified, the power of sin is broken. That power of sin must be broken continuously by the blood of Jesus, by the sprinkling of that blood, and by the power of the Holy Word until you are glorified. So sanctification has a wonderful beginning, but a continuous life all the days of your walk with God. And the reason people lose their first love is because they don't go on and really get sanctified. The reason they become lukewarm is because they lose that cleansing of the blood that keeps us holy day by day by day.
Right. Hey, I appreciate it, Brother Chambers. Thanks for the clarification.
God bless you. May the Lord's grace go with you. Okay, grab your phone, 1-800-338-7884. 1-800-338-7884. I want to hear from you. I want you on these lines asking me any question you want to ask me. Now, you can tell I'm an old Wesleyan. I'm a Pentecostal. I'm also a Baptist. See, I believe in salvation by grace. You must be born again. You must be born again. That's an old-fashioned, good, wonderful Baptist doctrine. And then Wesleyan is Methodist, sanctification by the blood. And then the baptism of the Holy Ghost, that's Pentecostal. So I'm a Baptist, I'm a Methodist, and I'm a Pentecostal. But what I really am is just a Bible-believing Christian. See, most people have got a wall of some theological system wrapped around their brain, and they can't just take the whole word simple and straight. I believe the whole word, simple and straight, and that's what this world needs. Do you hear me? That's what this world needs. I'll never forget, Billy Graham was asked a question years ago and printed it in his magazine, and I had a copy of it. I guess I still got it somewhere. And someone said to him, "What's happened to sanctification? What's happened to the Bible truth of sanctification?" You know what Billy Graham said? The Bible truth of sanctification is above the level where the church is living today. That was his words. Sanctification is above the level where Christians are living today. Let me get back to the Baptist church. Oh, I got one here. What was the speaker from D.C. you mentioned? Oh, let me see here. I got his name. His name was Kenya Cureton. He's with the American Faith, Family, and Freedom Association. And he's helping lead these organizations. Oh, was he great. I called him, but I hadn't got him. Going to get him on. I'm going to try to get him on next Saturday. I want you to hear him. And I'm going to get him to bring those statistics he had. And I'm going to do my best to get them set up on the internet where you can see them. You'll have to go to your internet now and pull up Open Bible Dialogue. You do know you can get me on camera. Now, you may not like what you see, but that's okay. Don't matter with me. That's not part of the equation. But I hope you'll like what you hear. And so we'd love to hear from you. Hey, give us a call now. There's so many calls out here. I wish that Brother Curtin, oh, man. Did I love hearing that man speak? Now, let me go here. Hallelujah. Here's somebody. You once had a sermon on your website that spoke of the word hallelujah. as a word that second the same in all languages. When the trump sounds, will that word be the universal call? I don't know, Gary, but that's a good question. You know who that preacher was? Oh, that was Ray H. Hughes. I wish I had him on video preaching that sermon on Hallelujah. That was one of the greatest sermons I'd ever heard. Oh, man. I sent that to I don't know how many people, Gary. It is a marvelous sermon, and that would be a great word. As we're going up through the sky, Hallelujah! Can you imagine the world echoing that? And all the sinners, they're going to hear us. You say, Brother Chambers, nobody knows about the rapture but those who go. It's all secret. I don't believe in no secret rapture, brother. I don't believe you can take millions out of this earth and millions off of this earth and take them up in the sky all in one great company with angels and the Lord himself up in the mid-heavens taking us, pulling us, calling us, the Holy Spirit escorting us. You can't do that secretly. Come on. You know, I never believed it could be secret. No way. It's going to be worldwide, and it's going to shake this universe. Oh, the devil is going to be so angry. I mean, the worldly crowd, they'll still refuse to believe, but millions on top of millions will get right with God. Friend, what we got coming is overwhelming. Now, grab your phone. I want some calls. I love the questions on email, but I love calls, too. 1-800-1-800. Come on, grab your phone. 1-800-338-338-7884, local 704-391-0588. Now, if you want this one of these sheets on Acts 20:28, I got the whole information. You just call and say, I want the material about Acts 28 for my church. That's all you got to do. Call right now. Call the ladies. They're waiting on you. 704-391-0588. I want the material about Acts 20:28. I want my church. I want my pastor to know how many of our members are arrested, how many of them have been voting, and I want us to get our whole congregation at the voting booth this coming 2016. If we don't, and we get Hillary Clinton, I'm going to tell you something. Hillary Clinton, if there's ever a woman that's a Jezebel devil, that woman is one of them. The stuff she believes in is breathtakingly horrible. I can't tell you not to vote for her. I can't tell you who to vote for. I'm not going to try. If you're stupid enough to vote in ways that is possible, then I'm just going to let you be stupid. That's all I know. And let God take care of you. But I'm here to tell you, we're facing some tough times, and we better do something about it. Now get your phone and quit sitting there on your two fists, you know, and doing nothing. Get involved with me, will you? Get involved with me. I want to hear from you. I want to get you this material. I want your church to appoint a culture impact team. I want us to get our churches awake. And I want us to get ready to do something about what's happening in America. You say Jesus is coming. You're right. And I hope he comes before 2016 election. But if he don't, I hope we're doing something to make sure the vote goes right. I think we must do both. We live ready to go and labor like we got 1,000 years. We live ready to go. We labor like we've got 100 years. Whatever you want to say. 100 years. I mean, I don't know how long I got, but I'm going to be a busy man until I get there. Okay, you on the air, and may I help you, please.
Pastor Chambers, how you doing? I just want to make a couple of comments.
I keep waiting for you to call and ask me a question.
Well, no, I want to make some comments.
I know. I've learned you. Go ahead. You're my friend.
Okay, all those that are listening that have not been born again, we just cannot keep cruising. We have to get down on our knees and beg the Holy Spirit.
Now, you don't have to beg him. You don't have to beg him.
Yes, you do.
No, oh, you don't have to beg him to save you.
Well, I'm just bringing but what I'm getting at is if we cannot be on cruise. We have to intentionally surrender, and when we are born again, then we're a different person, and I would like you to address that by going to, when I get done here, 1 John 3, 5, and 6.
Okay, go ahead. I'm going to let you. You're my friend.
Well, it says right there that those who are born again of the Spirit cannot sin. And most people think that that's a contradiction with the Bible, and it is not. In other words, those who are born again cannot sin, meaning that they cannot premeditate to sin.
They cannot continue in willful sin.
Well, or premeditate, or willful sin. And
that's exactly right. I agree with that. I believe any Christian can sin. I have sinned, and I've had to repent since I've been saved. But I don't live in sin. I don't practice sin. I don't sin willfully. And it's very, very, very seldom that a real Christian ever sins.
Well, you can't. It says in 1 John right there, it says you cannot sin. I cannot premeditate to sin because I have been born again in the Spirit.
I believe it. The way you said it, I believe it.
Well, it says it right there.
Well, you know I believe it. You know I believe it, but I'm going to argue with you because I want everybody to hear what we're saying, and I want them to get the deep message. Now, this is 1 John. Make sure I get the right verse. Chapter 5. And which verses did you say? You want me to read?
No, it's 1 John 3, 5, and 6.
Okay, 1 John 3. You said it. And you know that he was manifest to take away our sins. And in him is no sin. Whosoever abideth in him sinneth not. Whosoever sinneth hath not seen him, neither known him. And that sinneth, S-I-N-N-E-T-H, means living in continuous sin, living in habitual sin. You cannot do that if you're born again.
That's the point that I wanted to make. I am at that point. I cannot premeditate to sin, but I sin every day in the what I call the lusts of the flesh.
No, you shouldn't sin every day. If you do, you're not sanctified.
Well, let me go there, okay?
Okay, I'm gonna let you go there, but I'm gonna tell you that's wrong. Go ahead now.
Well, okay. If I have a thought about the lust of the flesh, I have sinned, and I have to repent and be forgiven.
No, and wait a minute. The Bible says I got to make sure I get the scripture right. I'm not prepared to quote it like I should. The Bible says that he does not tempt us to sin. If any man is drawn away of his own lust, he's convicted. Lust, when it hath conceived, bringeth forth sin. Lust, a feeling that comes against you. Like one man said, a bird can fly over your head, but you don't allow him to build a nest in your hair. You can have a thought of something wrong, but if you immediately reject it, immediately say no to it, then you have not sinned.
Well, that's the part that I'm getting at, because there's no contradiction in the Bible, because the Bible says we sin every day, but it also says...
No, the Bible don't say that.
Okay, or then I take that part back.
Okay, I'm going to make you take it back, because it don't say it. But most Christians believe it. They believe they sin every day. And I don't sin every day. I do not live in sin. And I'm not somebody that's so perfect and holy. I'm just a godly person that lives a godly life.
Yes, I totally accept that. And what I'm trying to present to the listeners is that we need to be baptized and then intentionally surrender to the will of God and his commands, read the word every day in order to be born again in the Spirit.
Well, you're right. We really do need to live in that word and walk in it and talk in it and act it. And I love you, Brother George. You are my dear friend. I got to go to another one here. You are on the air. May I help you, please? Well, they're gone. They were there. Help them, somebody, and then call me back. You know, I do my best to get people on, and I want everybody to have something to say and do. Now we're there. You on the air. May I help you, please?
Yes, thank you for taking my call.
I'm delighted.
There's two scriptures that I have a question about. The first one is John chapter 20, verse 22.
All right, St. John, chapter 20 and verse 22. Chapter 20 and verse 22. Got you, I'm almost there. All right, what is your question?
Is this where did the disciples get born again at this point?
Oh, no, the disciples were born again when they received Christ and surrendered their life to him. Every one of them was surrendered to him. And he said to them, rejoice not because the devils are subject unto you, but rejoice because your names are written in the book of life. And so that was before this event. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and saith unto them, receive ye the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. See, the disciples were saved. The Holy Spirit was with them, but the Holy Ghost wasn't in them. They had not been baptized in the Holy Ghost. So being born again is distinctly different from being baptized in the Holy Ghost.
So is this where they were baptized in the Holy Ghost?
No, this is where they were. This is where they were told that they were to receive. This was his indication to them, receive you the Holy Ghost. He didn't mean to them it happened right in that moment. It happened 10 days after he ascended when the Pentecostal experience came in the book of Acts chapter 2.
Okay.
See, this was a promise. This was a prophetic statement that Jesus said to them, breathed on them, and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Now, that was prophetic, and it occurred then 10 days after his ascension in the book of Acts chapter 2.
Okay.
Does that make sense to you?
Yes, I guess so.
Stephen Alford is a Baptist minister, and he says some wonderful things that I love. I quote him quite often. He says, when I was saved, the Holy Spirit, I had all of the Holy Spirit. I had all of the Holy Spirit. He said, but when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, he had all of me.
Yes.
When you can't be saved without having the Holy Spirit. But you can certainly have the Holy Spirit dwelling in you and guiding you and inspiring you and teaching you. But when you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, he becomes the president, not just resident, but president. And that's another thing that Stephen Alford said. When I was saved, he was resident, but when I was baptized in the Holy Ghost, he became president. So the baptism of the Holy Ghost is a time when the Holy Ghost takes hold of you and possesses your life. And for his glory, he begins to rule and labor in you. And that's why people are cold and lukewarm. It's because they're not allowing the Holy Spirit to possess their life.
Right. Yes. Okay. The other scripture that I had is Ephesians 1, verse 13.
Ephesians 1, verse 13. All right. I'm there. What is your question?
Well, I have a friend, and I discuss this quite frequently, and she always says that, it's kind of what you had just told me, that she always says she received everything when she got saved.
Well, that's been preached for years, that when a person gets saved, let me read it, in whom you also trusted after that you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after you were believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Well, that goes back to what I just said. The Holy Spirit is in you as a Christian. He is in you. He seals your heart. If that seal is never broken, you can never backslide. I say all the time, I believe in eternal security. I don't believe in the kind you can sin and still be a Christian. And I don't believe that you lose the possibility of turning around and going back and backsliding. But I believe you have such a security in the Holy Spirit and in the abiding power of the Holy Spirit that if you walk with Christ, there's no way you can backslide.
Amen. That's what I believe too. But she says, according to this verse, she has everything. She received everything when she got saved.
Well, ask her to go to 1 Corinthians 12 and tell you about the manifestation of those nine gifts in her life.
Okay.
The nine gifts of the Holy Ghost in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and he lists them. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, discerning of spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues, miracles, gifts of healing, prophecy. I mean, you've got nine gifts. Ask her, are those nine gifts working, or at least one of them, in her life? If she says no, she says, well, then how do you claim all of the Holy Spirit?
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Is that a pretty good answer?
Yes, but as a Christian, I don't necessarily have to have all nine gifts, do I?
No, I said at least one of them.
Okay, all right.
See, there are people that have none of them. But the reason they have none of them is because they don't walk close enough to Christ. They don't live in prayer like they should. Let me read to you so that you understand. He said very clearly, and there are differences of administration, but the same Spirit. There are diversities of operations, but the same God. But he said, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. You have a promise of the manifestations of the gifts. Now, it may be one in some person. They say that Martin Luther in history books had all nine gifts of the Spirit working in his life. I believe there are many godly men who are Holy Ghost filled, who are dedicated, totally sold out. I believe there are many godly men who in them all nine gifts will operate at some point or some place. Maybe one of them only once. Maybe one of them many times. But we must have, see, I said at the beginning of this program, the need of the hour is a church built after the model of the book of Acts. That's the need of the hour. And 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 are centered in that wonderful manifestation of the person of the Holy Ghost.
Okay, thank you so much for your answer.
I hope I've helped you. I hope we've helped a lot of other people. Hey, folks, the time is up on us. The coming of the Lord is at the door. Get ready. God bless you, dear lady. God bless you.
Thank you.
But now, call quickly. Oh, wonderful, wonderful questions. I love it. I love it. 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588. The email, jrc@paulcreek.org. jrc@paulcreek.org. Now, I really try to answer. Brother George from California, he's a wonderful man. And he wants to call rather than ask me questions, which is normal for this program. He wants to do his own preaching. And sometimes he misses it, and then I have to tell him. And then I hope I didn't hurt his feelings. Hey, George, it would hurt your feelings for nothing. But a person who says, I sin every day, better go somewhere and get saved because something's wrong. Something's wrong. No. And see, so many people make things sin that aren't sin. If I'm tempted, I haven't sinned as long as I reject that temptation. I mean, I don't care how the devil comes at me sometimes like a storm. Well, it may take me a little while to overcome. I had something happen to me Friday that just aggravated the daylights out of me. It took me 2 or 3 hours to get over being aggravated, but I did not sin. I did not say ugly things to that person. I did not be ugly and mean. I just grieved and hurt over the situation until I prayed through and turned it over to God, and I won the victory, and I keep on, and I've done that many times. I mean, you haven't sinned when you are tempted. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. You can get angry and not sin if you have a godly anger in a pure state, in the right attitude, and you immediately overcome it. And you don't let it control your life, you have not sinned. I do not believe in sin in everyday religion. I just do not believe in it. And I don't believe everything is sin. That the Bible has the picture of what sin is. Sin is transgression, willful transgression against the laws of God. That's what sin is. Willful transgression against the laws of God. And if you're willfully transgressing the laws of God, you are a sinner and you need to be saved. If you have been saved, then you go out of the sinning business, and you will have struggles, and there will be temptations. And as you're a young sinner, a young Christian, the temptations can be very, very overwhelming. But as you grow and you live in the Word, David said, His Word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against God. In another place he said, His Word have I hid in my heart that my steps might not slide. See? So we must be overcomers. Now, I'm just an old-fashioned holiness preacher, and I just believe you ought to live godly. And you go back to those old-fashioned Methodists and those old-fashioned Baptists, and they preach just like I do. You go back to John Wesley. You go back to Dwight L. Moody. You go back to those great men of God, Charles Finney, Presbyterian. I'm telling you, they preached old-time Christian living, and they knew it was right to live right. Hey, would you keep calling? I'll go to this call, but would you keep calling 1-800-338-7884, 704-391-0588? Quickly, will you call and let the ladies know and get this material that I told you about, this wonderful article on the world will hear the great blast of the trumpet, I'm telling you. And what are the characteristics of a real church? Find out if your church is real. And help make it one if you can. If you can't, find you one that is, okay? And then this Acts 20:28, every church has got to get involved in that. Every church has got to get involved. Hello, my friends. You're there. May I help you?
Brother Joe, I like what you just said. We're going to be tempted. He said the tempter will come, but he said he'll make a way of escape.
Yes, sirree. Every temptation is common to man, but Jesus has made a way for us to escape.
Right, amen. And Jesus said, be ye perfect as I'm imperfect. What he meant by that, Brother Joe, if we do fall, get back up. We got to be in perfect standing with Jesus. We got to be in perfect standing with him at all times.
A righteous man falleth 7 times, and yea, riseth again. You know, be angry and sin not. Don't transgress the laws of God. And if you haven't transgressed a law of God or a direct commandment of God, you haven't sinned. And don't let somebody accuse you of sinning every time you're tempted a little bit. When you're tempted, you immediately turn your head. You know, one man was watching, and this woman was going down the road, and I'm going to show this on the screen. And he said, isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? Isn't that a shame? And he was cupping his hand and watching until she was out of sight because he liked what he saw, and he called it a shame. Now, that's called lust that makes you a sinner. When you undress somebody in your lust, you have sinned, okay? But when you just have a feeling and you immediately reject it and go on doing right, you have not sinned. Does anybody not understand that? Do you understand that, sir?
Yes, sir.
All right, go ahead. Your question.
Like you said, a tempter always be tempted as long as we're in the flesh. But he said he'd make a way to escape.
Absolutely. Thank you, my brother. God bless your heart. Let's go to, let me get that line off. All right. Please explain Revelation 2:5. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent, and do thy first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly, and will remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent. How do your first works? You go back and repent again. You go back and get baptized in water. You go back and recommit yourself in your church. You go back and catch up your tithes that you quit paying. You just completely do your first works over. You know what the first works are of a person who gets saved? The first works of a person who gets saved is they go be baptized. They unite with the church. They become a faithful tither. They dedicate themselves to the word. They go to the prayer meetings. They get involved in Bible study on Wednesday night. They get in the middle of everything. That's what doing your first works is. If you have backslid and you've left your first love, you do your first works over. I've been praying for that all over this city. I know hundreds and hundreds of people. Many of them used to be part of this church, and they're off somewhere, you know, just going from pillar to post, and they need to come back and do their first works over. And you're on the air. May I help you, please? You are on the air. May I help you, please? There you are. I'm there now. Are you there? Well, somebody was there, and they're no longer there. What's wrong? Well, they're gone. Call again, please. 1-800-338-7884. I care about you. What a broadcast. I don't know whether you enjoyed this or not, but I want you to know we have really dealt with it the best I know how to deal with it, and I have loved it. I've loved it. I hope you have loved it. I believe we're learning. I believe we're growing. I believe we're maturing. I believe we're going deeper and deeper in the things of God. And I'm helping you. I really do. Well, it's time for me to go here. I hate to leave you. I really do. But I love you with all of my heart. Walk with God. He is coming soon.